The famous Brooklyn Bridge in New York City is experiencing more traffic than usual these days. Well, why does this matter to anyone besides New Yorkers? Well, every time officials transport a certain detainee to a Brooklyn court from a Manhattan jail, they have to shut the whole bridge down because of his track record of escaping. That detainee is Joaquin El Chapo Guzman. Guzman, or El Chapo, is known as one of the world's most powerful drug lords. He helped run the Mexican Sinaloa cartel for years, in a criminal organization peddling drugs, money, and arms, until his capture in 2016. This is the second week of his trial, where he's facing 17 charges, including drug trafficking, conspiracy to commit murder, among others. Keegan Hamilton is the co-host of the Vice News podcast, Chapo, Kingpin on Trial, and he's been in the courtroom. Keegan, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So give us a sense of the jury selection process, because I cannot imagine, I mean, being on a jury must be terrifying for these folks.
Yeah, it was very hard for them to find 12 jurors and six alternates who were willing to sit for this trial, which is expected to last anywhere from 3 to 4 months. It seemed like about 25% of the people said, no way, I'm not going to do this, and had some sort of excuse in mind, willing to get out. Another 25% were maybe a little too enthusiastic and wanted to be a part of something that they thought would be historic. And then half the people were sort of indifferent and or had no idea who Chapo was and just didn't quite understand maybe what they were getting themselves into.
And I'm wondering, what are some of the witnesses who are testifying against El Chapo? What have they had to say so far?
So far, there have only been three witnesses called. The first two were former law enforcement agents. But the star witnesses, the most important witnesses in this case, are going to be cooperators who have cut deals with the government or former associates or partners of Chapo. There's 16 of those who are expected to testify, and their identities are being kept secret. So far, we've had one take the stand, and that is the younger brother of El Chapo's partner, El Mayo Zambada. And he's offered some pretty inflammatory testimony, shocking stuff about bribery to basically every level of law enforcement in Mexico, murders that Chapo was allegedly responsible for, and sort of how the Sinaloa cartel was formed back in the day.
And we know that Chapo has escaped multiple times, which is why they have to shut down the Brooklyn Bridge. What are the security protocols in place, not just for El Chapo and making sure he doesn't escape, but also for the jurors?
So the jurors are anonymous. Nobody knows their names. The defense doesn't. The government doesn't. The judge doesn't know their names. And they are being escorted to court every day by U.S. marshals. They're not sequestered in the sense that they have to stay in a hotel for 3 to 4 months while this trial goes on. But they're not. They meet at a common place, and then U.S. Federal marshals bring them to the courthouse every day as a security precaution.
And is the defense for El Chapo is claiming that he's not gotten a fair trial so far. Where does that stand?
It's not so much that he's not gotten a fair trial. It's that he's been, you know, set up as the fall guy by the Sinaloa cartel. That was the crux of the defense's opening statement to the jury, saying this guy is not all he's made out to be by the government. There are other leaders of the Sinaloa cartel who found it convenient to blame El Chapo for every drug shipment, for every murder, for everything. And therefore, you can't trust the testimony of these cooperators who are about to tell you that Chapo is the one and only leader of the cartel.
And now the trial takes a break but comes back after the holiday. Is that right?
That's right. We're going to have the trial wraps up today, and then it'll go off through next week and starts on Monday, and will run basically until late December around Christmas.
Keegan Hamilton is the co-host of the Vice News podcast, Chapo, and U.S. editor. Keegan, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks again.
The Mexican government's role in facilitating the growth of organized crime groups in that country is also at the center of El Chapo's trial, including bribes to top-level officials. In 2006, Mexico's government officially launched its war against drugs, with former President Felipe Calderón deploying troops to the streets to stomp out the cartels. The move was widely criticized as a failed strategy after the military itself was implicated in extrajudicial killings, torture, and sometimes even carrying out the work of organized crime groups, like with the highly publicized disappearance of 43 students in 2014. Mexico's president-elect Andrés Manuel López Obrador will be stepping into office in December, and the future of the Mexican drug war is now in question. Stephen Dudley is the co-director for Insight Crime, a think tank based in American University that focuses on organized crime. Stephen, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
So let's talk a little bit about the security strategy that Mexico has employed. We mentioned that they've got military in the streets, but there's also been a strategy that the U.S. government also is behind called the Kingpin strategy. What is that?
This is a long-time strategy that focuses most of the resources the government has and the U.S. has towards targeting the highest level drug traffickers. So the thought behind it is that you really cannot establish the legitimacy of the government in question, in this case, the Mexican government, unless you can take out some of these very large drug traffickers that seem to be, in this case, sort of operating with impunity in a place like Mexico. So you focus all your resources on targeting, capturing, and or killing these particular targets, and then that's going to at least mitigate some of the power that these criminal organizations have.
As I'm sure you know, one of the arguments in the El Chapo defense here in New York during the trial is that the Mexican government is basically corrupt entirely at all levels, and that El Chapo was some sort of a pawn in the larger machine of Mexican politics. What's your take on that?
I think it's a little bit ridiculous to say that he was a pawn. On the other hand, you cannot operate a trafficking organization the size of the Sinaloa cartel without having tremendous connections inside of the government.
What about the U.S. government? What's its role been in this Mexican drug war? And has it been effective? I mean, I imagine not so much, but you're the expert. Tell me.
Well, if we're going to talk about amount of drugs going into the United States from Mexico, one could say it has not been effective. On the other hand, you know, these criminal organizations are responsible for subverting governments, democracies. They are responsible for huge numbers of murders. And you really do have to target them in order to debilitate them. And, you know, the emphasis of the United States has been targeting these higher level criminal organizations and these higher level criminals like Chapo. And in certain ways that it has had a positive effect. So, you know, both sides can argue that you know, without their efforts of going after criminal groups like this, then you would have a much worse problem. And, you know, the corruption, as bad as it is, would be even worse.
What are some alternatives? Are there alternatives?
Well, there are some alternatives, and this is the interesting thing with Mexico and other countries around the region, which is that they are experimenting with legalizing or at least decriminalizing certain types of drugs, such as marijuana. So there is some experimentation in pushing these markets from the underworld into the legitimate economy. And the notion is that that will lower levels of, you know, competition and ultimately violence, and that will also help move at least some of these illicit funds that go into campaigns and other ways that they subvert democracy, that will push it hopefully into a more, you know, open and transparent atmosphere. So that's the notion. It's very hard to say whether or not that alternative path will lead to a different result.
Stephen Dudley is the co-director for Insight Crime. Stephen, thanks so much.
Thank you.